TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Fossil-fueled climate change and war, double doomsday, with Dr. Peter Carter. A speech on the one-year anniversary of the climate-destroying war in Ukraine.
Escalation of this war means we are all losing. There are no victors in these modern wars, only victims. But with climate disruption and the level and the increase of atmospheric greenhouse gas concentrations, we're losing everything.
Peter Carter from British Columbia, Canada, is a retired medically trained doctor with a background in environmental health protection. In 2009, moved by James Hansen's public statement that the world was in a state of planetary emergency due to climate change, he founded the Climate Emergency Institute and remains its director. He published on global climate change science and impacts, Arctic climate change, risk assessment, and biodiversity. He has presented at many leading science and climate change conferences, including the American Geophysical Union and the European Geosciences Union. And he is an IPCC expert reviewer. The IPCC and other United Nations organizations have warned us that fossil fuel uses need to be phased out by the end of the 2020s. Instead, the war in Ukraine has become the largest threat to global climate. Here is Dr. Peter Carter.
Hello, I'm Peter Carter. I'm director of the Climate Emergency Institute. And I want to talk to you today about a double emergency, an emergency that has made the climate emergency terribly, terribly worse. So I'm going to be talking about war as well as the climate. War in Ukraine has been going on for a year now, and it's been getting obviously, horribly worse and worse and worse. The escalation of this war continues. Just a few days ago, we had the annual announcement from the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists. For decades now, a group of them have been analyzing world situations and how close are we to doomsday. And of course that goes back to the nuclear weapons arms race between the United States and the then USSR. So the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists just recently, they put the hand of their symbolic clock at the closest to midnight that it's ever been. Peace is the most precious thing in life. And at times like this, we really, really have to hang on to that and all work on it. So the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, as they have for the past several years, included the climate change situation in the reason why they put their clock closest to midnight. So we have a double doomsday here. We're dooming ourselves, we're dooming our future with committed climate disruption, with continued increasing greenhouse gas emissions, still accelerating atmospheric greenhouse gas concentrations. Well, that's dooming us. That's dooming our own children, dooming the future of humanity. But yes, it's much more dramatic in the case of the conflict, which is a proxy war. Everybody's acknowledged it's a proxy war, basically between the United States, yes, and NATO, and the Russian Federation. You know, one suddenly discovers that all the countries in the world practically, they've all been making these weapons of mass destruction, because they're all weapons of mass destruction nowadays. But we have this situation today in which my environmental friends just a few years ago were quite optimistic that we were going to see the end of the days of coal. Obviously, coal energy is the very worst of fossil fuels, produces air pollution, and it produces more CO2, you know, than any of the other fossil fuels. So that seemed to be a sort of good trend that they considered they were seeing. But apparently, according to the International Energy Agency, coal has kicked up in the past couple of years. It's actually at an all-time high now. So coal production and combustion is the highest that it's ever been. And the International Energy Agency says that one of the reasons is that natural gas has got so expensive now. And we've also got the European countries that have an energy crisis, you know, due to the war. They're also gone back to coal. So the International Energy Agency projects that coal will not decline. It will stay at this all-time high. We have no years left. For the climate, we've had no years left for quite a long time. The chair of the IPCC, Dr. Hudson Lee, for the past three annual climate conferences, in his presentation, his formal presentation at the opening of the so-called COP, he has said that in order to avoid a disastrous global warming of 1.5 degrees C, which now we've missed, and to avoid the catastrophic 2 degrees C, that global emissions had to decline on an immediate basis. Now, you know, people will say, oh, we don't think that's feasible right now. If we don't all work to make that happen, the future isn't feasible, right? We have to believe in this. It's the science. It's definite. And we all have to get behind it. I mean, the chair is doing the best we can, but certainly we should be passing on that message, that emergency message. But as I say, we have to win the peace in the world as well. We have to win the peace in Europe. These kind of escalating wars, we've seen them before, right? They only tend to end when there is massive, massive devastation. And of course, that's what we're looking at. Ukraine is being wrecked. It's being ruined. It's being devastated. It's a beautiful country, great agricultural lands, beautiful towns that I found in my research at the early stage of the war, when the city town of Mariupol was being bombed and destroyed. Ukraine is being destroyed. That's what's happening right now. So coal energy is now the leading source of energy, the leading source of power. There's a great map, actually, a great fossil fuel map that's one of the good resources recently. And you can look at all the coal plants in all the world and the how long they've been there and everything. The world's covered in coal plants, really, you know. So we can always stop fossil fuel emissions. We've known this for decades and decades and decades. We've always known that fossil fuel energy, dirty, killing, deadly, now climate catastrophe, world-ending fossil fuels, can be totally replaced with the very best energies that science and technology and civilization has ever produced. They really are amazing, of clean, renewable energy, 100%. The difference is we have to do it very, very, very fast now. And I believe that we can do that. You know, if humanity, if our civilization got together cooperatively and said, okay, enough of this. We know what the future is with climate disruption and oceans disruption. So we're going to make the switch. We could do it very quickly. But we have to have maybe an unprecedented degree of international cooperation to be able to achieve this. That means we have to create the peace. Means we all have to wage peace. Fossil fuels are the fuel of war. Renewable energy have long been recognized as the power for peace. They're very distinct. With fossil fuels, as I've been saying for years, we have no future at all. The science is definite. We have no future with any fossil fuels. Yeah, now we hear about net zero all the time, but the IPCC is very, very definite that net zero means zero fossil fuels. So we have to stop burning fossil fuels completely and replace them all. You know, US climate ambassador Kerry at Davos said, well, we can do this. All we need is money, money, money. Well, yeah, I mean, in a sense, that's right. But one of the numbers that I had the misfortune to come across is that the fossil fuel industry over the past few years, they've had this windfall profit. They've made record profits ever, the fossil fuel industry, in just the past few years. The number that I found was this windfall of $2 trillion. So, you know, we've got government saying, well, you know, they should spend something, we should tax them and do something about the climate. They shouldn't be making that kind of money at all. And it happens that we need
between $2 and $3 trillion
to put us on a track for some hope of climate safety into the clean, renewable energy industry. Because climate change is not just another environmental problem. It's not just another environmental issue. We used to call climate change in the past the great multiplier, because we're looking at the entire planet here. But we're actually looking at the climate system. So we have climate system change, which is better termed a climate disruption than oceans disruption. And yes, we just 2 weeks ago, we had the annual release of the really, really important, and it's great science that these scientists are doing, of the ocean heat, of what's happening with the ocean heat. So last year, yet again, the ocean heat was at a record high. And in this report, they acknowledge that it's accelerating. Most of our heat effect of our greenhouse gas emissions, of course, goes into the ocean, something like 93%. And that's bad for the oceans. So as I said, one thing I do is monitor the climate indicators. Actually, the climate centers have got really pretty good at this, so it makes my job easier. NASA has very good climate indicators. NASA calls it their vital signs. Another particularly good one is the EU Commission, equivalent of NASA, which is Copernicus, and they publish on a regular basis climate indicators, as does NOAA in the United States, the National Ocean and Atmospheric Administration. So just about 10 days ago, I came across a post that said that atmospheric CO2 had increased to 420 parts per million. Hopefully, we all know that the safety limit is 350 parts per million. So we're way, way, way above that. This is accelerating. The atmospheric concentration of carbon dioxide, which of course is the source of most of the heating, at least two-thirds of the heating, but it's also the source of all of the ocean acidification, which is a planetary catastrophe in its own right. The increase in atmospheric CO2 is completely unprecedented. The World Meteorological Organization, the WMO, did a special on this in their annual greenhouse gas bulletin. They said that the rate of increase of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere was completely unprecedented. We could go back as far as we could with our, you know, proxy records, which go back 40 million years. And the CO2 rate that we are pouring into the atmosphere is higher than anything that we can find back 40 million years. It's happening at least 100 times faster than the natural warming event at the end of an ice age. The atmospheric concentration of carbon dioxide, which of course is the source of most of the heating, at least two-thirds of the heating, but it's also the source of all of the ocean acidification, which is a planetary catastrophe in its own right. So this is completely insane. War is totally insane. And this is completely insane. You can't rationalize that kind of finding, which is completely definite because they're direct measurements. It's crazy, crazy. Now, the scientists and most of the environmentalists now are very, very well aware of the methane monster. So methane is the second most important greenhouse gas to CO2. It's another carbon gas, CH4. And just a few years ago, methane literally rocketed up at an explosive rate. Methane was fairly steady for many years from year 2000, and then all of a sudden around 2006 it started increasing again. And methane has been increasing at an accelerating rate since then. But in the past few years, it's gone up explosively. There's a lot of natural sources of methane, but we have a large number of human sources. All of those human sources are increasing. The emissions from all of the human sources are being increased. A very big one is natural gas. Natural gas is mainly methane. So when you burn natural gas, you still produce carbon dioxide, so you still boost this unprecedented increase in carbon dioxide, even though, yes, it's a lot less than coal. But of course, the scientists recently have found that methane leaks from the God knows how many, I don't know, hundreds of thousands or millions of miles of pipeline, particularly in Europe. I mean, Europe is just a network of natural gas pipelines because all of these have been mapped. So inevitably, methane leaks out of the pipeline, the distribution places. There's published science on this. And that is increasing with the increase in natural gas. And now the science is that actually natural gas is almost as bad as coal with regards to greenhouse gas emissions and climate disruption effect. So I want to go in now to the costs of war. The RAND Corporation in the United States published an opinion on the war in Ukraine. They said this is one of the bloodiest wars in modern history. The RAND Corporation said that the loss of life, the killing, is extraordinarily high. And the RAND Corporation said that on both sides, now, every day, hundreds of soldiers are being lost, killed, incapacitated, in the hundreds. Those are young men who are being killed. Every one of those young men is a family. The amount of ordnance, bullets, shells of all sizes is absolutely unbelievable. We were aware, and we are still aware, thanks to the United Nations refugee program, of the millions and millions of Ukrainians who were displaced, were literally forced to flee. This is hard to talk about, and I know it's hard to listen to. So, you know, images of a mother with a child, and she carry a sort of handbag or all her belongings, fleeing their own country. So that's about 7 million refugees now. Those are millions of families. At present, torn asunder, you know, children and wives not seeing their fathers. And the numbers are over 6 million people internally displaced, of course. You can see the apartments that have been destroyed. You can see the villages destroyed, you know, those humble houses blown apart, right? That's millions of people too. This is what war is. This is what modern war is all about. This is indiscriminate, ruthless warfare, and it's actually aimed at civilian targets in the Ukraine. There's no question about that. They're waiting for the Ukraine to capitulate. Well, we need to have peace, not a capitulation. We need to have peace. The cost of Russia. The cost of Russia is claimed to have been huge with regards to their soldiers killed or incapacitated, and the research holds that up. But I want to finish off with the biggest cost of all of this particular obscenely evil war, as all modern wars are, and that is the cost to the climate and the oceans and the forests, all the forests in the world, and the costs to our future. So this proxy war, this world war, as I've said, is actually a world-ending war. And it's not only because of the increasing risk of nuclear weapons being used and a nuclear conflagration, which is a real, real risk, and it's really increasing. Mr. Putin has made veiled threats on the use of nuclear weapons, but they've got them. Actually, Russia still has more nuclear weapons than the United States. There's a lot of them, a lot. Enough to end what we call our world. So this war, because it is boosting emissions so directly of carbon dioxide and methane, this war is a war that's destroying our future. The cost of this war is the cost of our complete future, not just civilization, but our future at all. Because we already have, and I've mentioned, we've already been idiotic enough to trigger methane feedback emissions. So I sort of wrote a little conclusion, which I think I've said, but it bears repeating. Escalation of this war means we are all losing. There are no victors in these modern wars, only victims. We're all losing. Let's be very clear about that. But with climate disruption and the level and the increase of atmospheric greenhouse gas concentrations, we're losing everything. Everything. We're losing our entire future. We're losing Earth. And it's not one little come and go. The effects of climate disruption are permanent. Whatever you hear, they're irreversible. So I guess the final message I should make is the message from Dr. Hassan Lee, the chair of the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and it's in Working Group 3. I did some more work on that yesterday. Global emissions have to decline on an immediate basis. And that's a survival imperative. So the war has to be stopped. Peace has to be made. Peace has to be realized. Yeah, it doesn't look likely, and some people would say it's unfeasible, but we're human beings, whatever we imagine, and then we imagine in a group, we can make it happen. We can make it happen. Peace is always possible. We've known for decades it's always possible to what the IPCC says, reverse greenhouse gas emissions. It's always possible, readily and easily possible, in the absence of war, to put greenhouse gas emissions into decline. Any year, our leaders and corporations within any year can do that. It's pretty easy. Obvious. United Nations Secretary General has stressed it over and over. Charge the fossil fuel corporations with the cost of their air pollution, which kills 10 million people every year. If that's not evil, I don't know what is, and it is. And we have to charge them the full cost of their deadly killing pollution. We should be ruthless with these corporations. We had another paper published of an expose of how long Exxon knew about the effects of continuing to burn fossil fuels and continuing to burn the atmosphere. And it goes back to the early 80s. Yeah, Exxon and all these corporations, they may have been okay one day, but they're evil today. They really, really, really are. So we have to get out, and we have to exert as much pressure as we possibly can on our governments to stop the subsidies and the fossil fuel corporations to do what British Petroleum did years ago, but then abandoned, and that is to become energy corporations. The natural thing for fossil fuel corporations to do is to switch to become energy corporations. Build and sell wind turbines. One of my favorite is deep geothermal energy. Exxon and those companies, they're experts in drilling anywhere and drilling deep, right? We can power the whole world many times over with geothermal energy alone. We, the people, we, the parents and the grandparents particularly, we have to be very forceful. And our governments, banking corporations, of course, that finance the planet-destroying, planet-killing fossil fuel projects, we have to make them stop. Climate change is a stop situation. It's not a reduce or improve. It's a stop, right? And convert to a much, much better and healthier life. And the potential of the world being run only on renewable energy is the brightest future that humanity could ever think of. The price goes down the more you use. It's localized. We're not going to see wars being waged over solar energy, for example, right? Or geothermal energy. That's an inherent terrible problem with the fossil fuels, of course. They're localized in particular places, so governments make weapons and nuclear weapons in order to protect those interests. But today we only have one interest. Our interest is establishing peace, and our interest is converting from a fossil fuel polluting economy to a renewable, clean energy economy.
That was Dr. Peter Carter, founder and director of the Climate Emergency Institute, based in British Columbia, Canada. The title of this talk was Fossil-Fueled Climate Change and War, Double Doomsday. And the 32-minute version was posted on YouTube on February 9, 2023. Peter Carter published on Global Climate Change Science and Impacts, Arctic Climate Change, Risk Assessment and Biodiversity. He has presented at many leading science and climate change conferences, including the American Geophysical Union and the European Geosciences Union, and he is an IPCC expert reviewer. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. My name is Maria Glodden. Thank you for listening.